Okay, today's stuff is Kuf Aleph. We're going to start a Kuf Amud Bet at the bottom at the Mishnah. Hamocher zeitav le'etzim v'asu pachom mirevi'it le'se'ah hare elu shabal ha'zeitim. Somebody sells his trees, okay, but he sells his olive trees for the purposes of chopping it into wood.
I thought you weren't allowed to do that. Chop down olive trees, or is that a new law?
Oh, in terms of
perhaps specifically olive trees, you're not allowed to cut down.
I don't know the halacha. Okay, I guess it seems from here you can. But in fact, he didn't chop them down right away, and there were olives. So the question is, who gets the olives? Because he didn't sell them for the olives. So what happens if asu pachom mirevi'it le'se'ah? If the amount of olives that came out of it was less than a revi'it for a se'ah of for an amount that was there, hare elu shabal hazeitim. So then the owner of the zeitim gets it, because the assumption is,
Zeitim meaning the current owner or the previous owner?
Right, 1 second. Right, the assumption is it's the person who bought it now, right? That's what I assume it is, the purchaser, because if he purchased it, and the assumption is, what did the owner intend, right, that...
It belongs to the seller.
Right. It belongs to the buyer. Why does it belong to the buyer? Because when he bought them, right, the whole question is, if I sold you my trees for the wood and not for the olives, so what happens if olives do grow? So the assumption is, I didn't sell them to you. But if the amount of olives that grew is so small that it's an insignificant amount, then obviously I would be mochel on them, which means that they belong to the person who bought them. Okay, so if you didn't even get a revit of, by the way, we're talking about a revit of olive oil, right? If you couldn't even get, right, revit is a liquid measurement. If you didn't even get a revit of olive oil out of those olives, then obviously I was mochel on it when I sold it to you. But asu revit le se'ah, but let's say they did produce a revit per se'ah. So zeomer zeitai gadlu v'zeomer artzi gadla. Now what happens? If you buy it from me, you own the tree itself, but I own the land, right? Where it grew from. Because you're going to chop down the tree, but I get to keep the land underneath because I just sold you the tree for the wood. So now the question is, who was responsible for the growth of these olives? So one guy claims it was the tree itself that grew them and I own the tree. And the owner of the field says, wait, it was my field that caused the olives to grow, right? It was the roots in the ground, and the ground caused it. And therefore, yachloku. So once it's a significant amount that I'm not going to be mochalan, then we split it, 50-50. Shataf nahar zeitav, unitanam letoch sadech chavero. We're going to see a lot about this case today. A nahar comes, it's a little hard to imagine, sweeps away my tree and knocks my tree into your house. And now my tree is in your field. And now my tree is in your property, okay? And now it grows in your property. Okay? So that's Shataf Nar Zeitav Unichnas Litoch Unitanam Litoch Sadech Haver. Ze Omer, so now what happens to the olives that grow on that tree? So again, the one whose house it ends up in, so he now becomes the new owner of that tree. So he says, So his ground is helping, right now it's the flip case, right? Last time it was the original owner who owned the ground, right, the karka. Now it's the guy whose house it wandered into that owns the karka. So the original owner says, it's my tree that helped it grow. Mezelmer artsi gadla. And the other one says, no, it's my ground, my soil that helped it to grow, and therefore yachloku. So now the Gemara is going to say, what's the case of the second case? Hechidami. Ida amrale. Oh, no, sorry, the first case. Now we're going to go to the first case, then we'll get to the second case. Ida amrle kotz la'alter. If I said to you, when I sold you my tree for the wood, I said, chop it right away, then afilu pachom mirevi'it nami labala karka, then I am basically saying, if I say chop it right away and you didn't, obviously the fruits are mine, because I'm obviously makpid, even if it's a small amount. The whole idea of what we said in the Mishnah was that I'm mochel on it, but if I say chop it right away, that means if you don't chop it right away, and something grew, I expect it to be mine. V'ida amarle kol ema debayit kotzen. If I say to you, listen, I don't care, whatever you want, you could chop it down. then obviously I'm saying that I don't care what you do with the, right? The zeitim can be yours. And therefore, afilu revi nami labal zeitim. And therefore, they're basically saying, what could be the case of the Mishnah, right? Either we're going to assume I said chop it right away, or we're going to assume I said I don't care when you chop it. If you say chop it right away, it belongs to me. If I didn't say chop it right away, I said chop it whenever you want, then obviously, I mean, the zeitim are going to be yours. So why should we do yachloku? So what are they? Ah, yachem. So lo tzricha d'amar le stama. Pachot mi revi lo kapte inche. Revi kapte inche. Okay, that's going to be the difference. Whether someone's makpid or not, and that's going to depend on the amount, if he didn't specify. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Uravit Shamru Chutz Min HaHotza'ah. He points out, by the way, when we talk about a revi'it, the amount that comes out, right, we're deducting from that when we come up with an amount. Let's say you actually do have a revi'it. Exactly. Let's say you have exactly a revi'it, okay, or a revi'it plus a little bit, okay, because it doesn't actually say what it, right, there's always a debate, right. Here actually it says Pachot Mi Revi'it. So let's say even a revi'it. Let's say it was exactly a revi'it. So what would we say? Yachloku. But what does he say? No, well, you have to deduct from this the amount of expense he had to turn those olives into oil. So if you have exactly a revi'it and you deduct the expenses, it's going to end up less than a revi'it. And in that case, it's going to belong to the owner of, right, the new owner, the buyer. Okay? So now, Shataf Nahar Zetaf. Now we're going to have two versions of what Rish Lakish said about this Mishnah. He didn't ukimta to the Mishnah. Remember, that means he said the Mishnah is only talking about in a particular situation. Narrow the focus of our Mishnah. But we're going to have one explanation, and we're going to reject it, have another. We'll talk about both. Amar Ula. Amar Rish Lakish. Ula brings teachings of Rish Lakish. Just to remind you, Ula was someone who went back and forth to Israel, and therefore he was bringing the Torah Eretz Israel to Babel. Rish Lakish was from Israel. He says, and that's why also sometimes we're going to see there were different versions, because it was coming from far, and as we all know, broken telephone, right? When you bring information, it doesn't always come out exactly right. He says in the name of Rish Lakish, Lo shanu ela shene'ekru begushehem ula har shalosh, aval betoch shalosh hakol shabal azitim. The Mishnah is only referring to a case when, number one, the river swept away my tree with a clod of earth, and number two, what we're talking about, yachloku, is only after the first 3 years. Aval betoch shalosh, but within the first 3 years, hakol shabal azeitim. The original owner gets all the produce. Why is that? Da'amar lei, I at natat betoch shalosh, mi havat achilt, achat. He says to him, okay, this is based on the concept that if my tree gets washed away by a river and ends up in your property, I'm basically, even though you say, oh, well, you gained a tree, but I've used up your land. And if you wanted to, you could have built your, you could have planted your own tree in that spot. And therefore, as the owner of the land, he can claim, this is my land, your tree got stuck in my land, I could have planted my own tree, and you're getting in my way. You know, it's not convenient for me. So now, what does he say? So if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have built a tree here. I would have had my own tree here. So therefore, he wants to get full rights. But what does the owner of the tree say to him? Okay, let's read it again inside. I'at natat, if you had planted, b'toch shalosh mi'av achalt, if you had planted right now, the first 3 years, it's orla, and it's forbidden for you to eat. So therefore, you have no rights for the first 3 years to any of the fruits of my tree. Because if you claim, well, my land grew the tree, if your land had grown a regular tree, you wouldn't have been able to eat these 3 years. So basically, you have no rights to land. He's not saying it's orla for you, but what he's saying is your claim that your land grew this tree, and if my tree got into your property, and if it hadn't, you would have planted your own tree, well, you wouldn't have had fruits for 3 years anyway that you could have eaten. And therefore, I get all rights. So now the Gemara rejects this and says, what do you mean? Oh, so wait, according to this, let me just chart it so that you get them the next part. So, lifnei shalosh, right, or betoch shalosh, what are we going to say? The guy gets nothing, right? Let's do it, the Baal HaSadeh versus the Baal HaEitz. So the Baal HaSadeh gets nothing and the Baal HaEitz gets everything. Okay, la'achar shalosh. What are we going to say? That's the case in the Mishnah. Yachloku. He gets half, he gets half. Right? That's exactly the reading of Rish Lakish right now. So the Gemara says, that's not a good explanation because he could say, right, the Bala Sadeh could say, b'lemale, I ananate la'achar shalosh havachina le'kule. If I had planted my own tree, I would have gotten everything after shalosh. Okay, in other words, you're claiming that you haven't benefit, right, that you have rights to this because if I had planted my own tree, right, then I wouldn't have been eating anything. But if I had planted my own tree, then after 3 years, I would have gotten to eat everything. And now you're splitting it with me. Hashta ka'achat paga bahadai. And therefore, I deserve at least half rights to the first 3 years. Because you're messing me up later, so I should at least benefit now. Okay? So, Ella. So, therefore, that's not a good explanation. So, Ella ki ata Ravin amar Rish Lakish. So, now Ravin comes and he says, oh, Uli, you got it wrong. This is really what Rish Lakish says. Okay, let's erase now. Okay? Lo shanu Ella. What do you think they're going to say now? Shene krubugu shehem ubitoch shalosh. We're talking about dafka yachloku before the 3 years are up. Okay, because after the 3 years, what's going to happen? The guy's going to say, hey, look, I could have planted my own tree and had full rights to this. So, lo shana lenana, b'toch shalosh, aval lachar shalosh, hakol l'bal l'karka. Okay, so everything, lachar shalosh, the bala karka gets everything, the bala eitz gets nothing.
But why do they need to split up orla fruit at all?
It's not, none of this is orla fruit. You have to remember. Why is this? This is, that's why it's also, some of the Mefarshim say, it depends. Why does it have to come with its clod of earth? Because if you move a tree with its clod of earth and you replant it, it's not chayv and orla. It's not like a new tree. It goes by the years of the old tree. So that's what we're saying. There's no real orla here. What's the orla? The orla is potential. The Bala Eitz says, hey, this is my tree and I'm eating all the fruits because it's an old tree. It's not orla. And if you claim, but you're taking up space in my land, and I could have planted my own tree, well, anyway, you wouldn't have been eating these first 3 years. So therefore, I get full rights the first 3 years. After that, when you already start claiming, well, I could have planted my own tree and eaten my fruits, then we'll split a 50-50. That's the first reading of Rish Lakish. The second reading of Rish Lakish says, no. After three, he gets full rights because he could have planted his own tree. And what did I do? He didn't ask for the tree to be planted in his house. Okay? And therefore, the original owner should get nothing. But this also is problematic. The lemale, he could say to him, "I at natat b'toch shalosh lo hava achot, hashta ka'achot palga b'hadai." Mishum. Okay, so now this is like the reverse argument. The guy, the bala eitz, who gets nothing after three, could say, "Wait a minute! If you right, if you." Or I had to split with you the first 3 years. So because of that, I want to split with you, right? You had no rights to the first 3 years because it would have been orla had you planted your own tree. So the fact that you got half then means that I should get half now. Okay, so they, and therefore they try to reject this reading, but now they say no, that's not a good answer because mishum da'amarle, because the Bala Sadeh could have another claim against him and say like this. I ana nat'e have katina v'zar'ana techutayu silka v'yarka. If I had planted my own trees, what happened? Your tree came and plopped into my property and got planted the way it got planted. But if I had done it the way I wanted to, I would have planted my own type tree. Now, what could he have done? He would have planted, according to this, it says daka, right, aktine. I would have planted something thin that didn't cover all of my, it didn't provide so much shade that now there's no sun in my property. Right, because you need some for other stuff to grow. So I wouldn't have necessarily chosen this tree to plant. And likewise, I would have planted underneath silka v'yarka. Okay, this is apparently they used to plant it's beets and some sort of like a leafy kind of spinachy kind of plant. And supposedly, if they would plant it under trees and it would be good for the tree or something, it was some sort of thing that they would do before they planted trees. They would put this underneath, and somehow that was better for the tree. And therefore, they're saying that, yes, it's true, you gave me a tree, but it's not like it was ideal for me either. It didn't work out in my best interest, and therefore, due to that, That's why I get to split the first 3 years. And not, and therefore you can't claim that because I split the first 3 years, you get to split the second 3 years, because it was also a headache for me because I couldn't have planted things the way I wanted to. So that's, and therefore the second reading of Rish Lakish stands. Okay, Tana. Amar hala zeitai ani notel, ein shomin lo. If my tree goes into your property, the river washes it into your property, and I want to take back that tree after it's been replanted in your field. So ein shomin lo. I'm not allowed to take back my tree. My taima, amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael. This is because, okay, this goes back to this issue about, I don't know if you know this issue about uprooting trees in Israel. There's a bit of a halachic issue about it. Are you allowed to uproot a tree and move it somewhere? So here this sugya seems to say that because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to basically take this tree out once it's already taken root. I assume it means it has to take root already, right? And that's why this situation is a little hard to imagine, right? Because the tree gets plunked out. It's like, it sounds like the Wizard of Oz when the house, moved. Like, that doesn't really happen usually. So, what?
Sometimes with hurricanes,
it could really move a tree.
It could.
Right.
You could bend it over and the play of the tree could grow from the...
From the bottom, like from the top.
From the trunk.
Ah, interesting. Okay. So it could happen. So then, the question is, right, so according to this, Rabbi Yochanan says, Mishuma Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, there's actually a machloket about whether this is specifically Eretz Yisrael or it just means in general. There's actually an opinion, the Meiri says, that this is even in Chutz La'aretz, okay? It doesn't mean specifically Eretz Yisrael, but most of the Mepharshim explain it means specifically in Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, very interesting statement, Kigon Da Tzricha Rabba. For a psak like this, you need someone great. If Rabbi Yochanan hadn't said this, we never would have known this. Okay, now, there's two interpretations what the chiddush is of what he said. Is the chiddush that otherwise we would have assumed, of course you could take your tree back. Okay, if my tree blew into your field because of a hurricane, of course I get to take my tree back. And Rabbi Yochanan was mechadesh that I'm not allowed to. Some people say, if you assume that he means only in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz, that it means actually the reverse. If Rabbi Yochanan hadn't told us it was Mishum Eretz Yisrael, we would have thought that even in Chutz La'aretz, you can't claim your tree back. Okay? Because once it goes into the new guy's property, it belongs to him. So you can see that there's opposite extremes about what this means. Tanan Hatam, a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMikabel Sadeh Avotav Min HaNochri. If you get, okay, I'm specifically not going to explain what this means today, Avotav. We're going to see two interpretations. But if you get a field, quote unquote, of your father's from a Nochri, meaning, what is a Mekabel? You get it by Arisut. Now let's just review. Arisut and Chachira, okay, and Socher. Socher is someone who gets hired to work in a field. He gets paid, let's say, an hourly wage. A Chocher is someone who gets hired to work in someone's field. Okay, now, obviously, the socher is going to get paid no matter what happens in the field. Whether the field grows or doesn't grow, he gets his salary. A chocher, we make an agreement that you're going to pay me X amount of money, like X amount of produce, okay, to work in my field. Whether or not you grow stuff in my field or not, you still owe me, let's say, one se'ah's worth of wheat. Okay, that's the agreement. So you work in my field. It's like a sharecropper, but a little different, okay, that we're going to see now the difference between that and a sharecropper. And Aris is a sharecropper. The chachir, what happens? He gets a set salary, as opposed to the aris, who gets percentages of what grows in the field. Okay, so there's obviously going to be differences between these type of people, because the sharecropper gets a percentage of the field, whereas the chachir gets paid. What does he do? He gets the produce of the whole field, whatever it grows, whether it grows a ton or whether it grows a little, and he has to pay X amount, but not a percentage of what he grew. You understand? He has to pay, no matter what, X amount to the owner. Okay? So here we're talking about arisut. You work on a percentage basis. So if you get a sadeh from a nochri, from a non-Jew, and you're working for him as a sharecropper, so you owe him a percentage of whatever grows. Ma'aser v'noten lo. You have to take ma'aser on the entire field. And you give him the percentage that you're supposed to give him, right? You're supposed to get 50%, so he gets 50%, and you have to take all of the maaser from your half. Okay? But maaser on the whole field, but it comes out of your half. Savruha, they thought when they originally heard the salacha of Rabbi Yehuda, what did they think? My sadeh avotav, Eretz Yisrael, a field in Eretz Yisrael. And why is it called Amai Karulei Steavotav? Sadeh Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So any, if you work on any field in Israel that belongs to a non-Jew, you have to take maaser on that whole field if you're a sharecropper. Now, why does this work? Because you have to hold like this. V'kasavar, he must have held, Rabbi Yehuda, Ein kinyan l'nochri be'eretz Yisrael lafkia miyab ma'aser. Right? When a nochri buys property from a Jew, the assumption is all the land was Jewish to begin with. So when a nochri buys the property, it doesn't remove it from being a Jew. This goes with what we saw before about karkein and exelet, right? It's always considered in its original owner's property. And the second assumption is that mekabel kechocher dami, ma chocher ben avad ben lo avad by isure umetanle, dechi porea chovato dami. We'll stop for a minute here. We're going to say that an aris is like a chocher. What happens with a chocher? A chocher, in theory, what does he do? He gets whatever produce was grown in the land except for what he has to pay to the original owner, right? So let's say he says, I'm going to pay you, 50,000 shekels worth, or I'll just say 50 shekels, even though it's a small amount, but I'll pay you 50 shekels worth, and the rest is going to belong to me, which let's say ends up being 60, okay? So now, altogether it's worth 110, okay? So now he has to take maaser on all 110 because the 50 that he owes the guy is just a chov, right? It's not dependent, right? If the land grew and let's say he took 90, it would be the same 50 he owed the guy. You understand? Since it never changes, really everything belongs to him and he just owes the guy, he's got a bill he has to pay. So therefore, obviously, he has to take maaser on the whole thing. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda must hold that af makabel nami, ki porea chovato, when he's porea his chov, deme ma'asir, now I'm missing a word here, ki porea chovato, deme ma'asir v'notein lo, ki porea chovato dame. It's like he's porea chovato, and therefore me'aser v'notein lo. Therefore, he has to take maaser on the whole field and then give his percentage. So let's do the aris now. Let's say he pays 50%, okay? So now we're going to say that the 50% that he pays, right, is also viewed as a chov. Even though you would have thought, right, you would have assumed an aris pays a percentage of the land. So the percentage that belongs to the nochri, there's no need to maaser. And the percentage that belongs to him, he has to maaser because he doesn't even own that other 50% because it goes to the guy. But Rabbi Yehuda, since he says he has to take maaser on the whole thing, he must hold that an aris is like a chocher in that sense. And that the 50% is viewed, right, it's all a matter of how you view it. It's viewed as an obligation. It's a chov. In which case, he really owns the whole field, the sharecropper. He gets everything. He has to pay the guy the 50%, and then he takes maaser on the whole thing that he owes from his property, from everything. Okay? So that's what we think Rabbi Yehuda holds. But now we're going to reject this. We're going to say, Amar le Rav Kahana le Rav Pape, v'amar le Rav Zvid. Okay, so Rav Kahana said it either to Rav Pape or Rav Zvid. Elaha detanya Rabbi Yehuda omer, ha-mekabel sadeh avotav mi-matzik nochri ma'aser v'noten lo. My iria matzik, afilo ein matzik nami. According to what we're saying, what did we say? Ein kinyan l'nochri lafkia miyad Yisrael, right? So therefore, you take land from any non-Jew who bought land, anything, right? You have to take maaser. But there's a braita that says that Rabbi Yehuda himself says that if you get a field ba'arisut, okay, you write a mekabel means you get it as a sharecropper, from a matzik nochri. What's a matzik nochri? That's someone who steals property from a Jew. So if he steals it, right, we say ein karka nigzelet. But who's to say if you buy the karka, well, then the karka does switch ownership, and then it really does belong to the non-Jew, and it's not chayv in maaser. So the fact that he chose to use the word matzik nochri, you have to take maaser, it sounds like if the nochri bought it fair and square, then it would be mufka, midei Yisrael. It's not chayv in maaser. And therefore, what would happen? Well, he owns 50% of the property of the sharecropper, or again, whatever percentage it's going to be that sharecroppers get, and therefore he has to just take maaser on his property, but not on the share of the nochri. So now they say, Ella, so therefore that can't be what Rabbi Yehuda held. Ela la'olam, it must be Rabbi Yehuda holds, like we just saw from this braita, yesh kinyan le'nochri be'eretz Yisrael lafkia miyad maser. A nochri can purchase land in Eretz Yisrael, and it will not be considered land that's chayav in maser. U'mekabel lav kechocher dami. And additionally, an aris is not like a chocher. He owes a percentage, and therefore the percentage that's owed to the nochri doesn't belong to him at all. However, right? What are we talking about now? So according to this, though, he's still, according to what did Rabbi Yehuda say? He has to take maser on the entire property. So why is that? So my sadeh avotav, it's not what we thought before, it's just any field in Eretz Israel. It's sadeh avotav mamash. It's a case where the nochri bought it from his fathers. Now he goes to sharecrop that land that originally belonged to his fathers. Uledi, and then only this guy has to do the maser on the whole thing. In other words, if you went into my father's field as a sharecropper, you wouldn't have to pay maser on the whole thing. Only if it's me who goes in to be a sharecropper in my father's field or my ancestor's field, then I would have to. Uledi dehu de kansua rabbanan, and only I have to do this knas of having to pay maser on the whole thing. Da'ide de chavivi ale tafe va'azil makabele. So now we're going to see what's different between me and you. We still don't really understand why I have to pay extra, but what's the difference between me and you? That if I have to pay a knas, like extra money that I didn't have to, since it's my parents' property, I'll have more interest in doing it and I'll do it anyway, even though I know I have to pay the price for it. You will say, oh, I'm not going to bother sharecropping this field because it's not in my best interest, right? It's a headache. I'm going to have to pay so much extra. So you're not going to do it. But I, in theory, would do it. So now, if I do it, now we have to explain one more thing, which is why this knas? As if I don't owe maaser on it, why are they making me pay maaser on it? So what's the answer? My time, a kansua rabbanan, amar rabbi yachanan, kedei shetehe bara biyado. What do we want to do? We don't want me to sharecrop this property, because what do we want me to do? We don't want land to be in the hands of Nochrim and Eretz Yisrael. We want, and this is where you could see people would take politics, you know, from the Gemara. I'm not going to say that we should conclude that, but however, you could see what they're saying. We don't want this land to belong to non-Jews, and therefore, if I go to sharecrop my parents' field, we're going to be kone soti, because we don't want me to sharecrop it. What do we want me to do? We want me to buy it back. So we're going to tell me that it's not in my best interest to sharecrop in this field, so that I have motivation to try to buy it back. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, again, we're going to see the same statement. Kegon da tzricha rabba. This is a unique psak that if someone great hadn't said it, we never would have, you know, come to this conclusion. Okay. New case. Itmar. Hayorei betoch sadech chavero v'nat'a shalo b'rishut. I go into your field and I start planting it without you having asked me. We saw some cases before of this, right? So, Amarav, Shamin lo v'yado ala tachtona. We evaluate how much work I did. We're going to give you two explanations. One is, it's like we saw in the other case in the sixth parak, that we evaluate how much I made your field better, and we evaluate how much I spent on it, and whichever is the lower amount, I get back. Okay? My yad is always ala tachtona. Some people say it just means that we give you, you know, because things can always be evaluated in different ways. I get the least amount, you know, that we evaluate how good it is, you know, how much you would have spent for this, and we give me the lower evaluated amount. Ushmuel amar, omdin kama adam rotzeh liten besadeh zeh linot'ah. He gets exactly what a person, right? Whatever you would have hired someone to do that for you, that's what I get. Amar papa, velo plige, and actually there's no real machloka between them. They're each talking about different situations. Kam besadeh asuyalita, v'kam besadeh she'en asuyalita. If you were planning anyway to plant there, then I get my full amount. That's Shmuel. If you weren't planning to plant there, well, then I get the lower amount because I had benefited you, but it wasn't really, you weren't really planning to plant there anyway. V'hadirav la b'feirush itmar ela michlale itmar. Where Rav said, some people say actually Rav Papa's explanation of Rav, but anyway, we'll just read it either which way. What he said was la b'feirush ela michlale. He didn't say it explicitly. We learned it from a story that happened, a case. Dahu da'ata l'kame d'rav. Amarle zil shumle. Right, this happened before Rav, and what did Rav say? Go evaluate how much it was. Amarle lo be'ina. But he said, I didn't want this. Why do I have to evaluate what it's worth? I didn't want this. I didn't want him to plant it in my property. Amalei, zilshum le v'yadola tachtona. So we said to him, fine, you didn't want it, so go evaluate it, and yadola tachtona, give him the lower amount. Amalei, lo be'ina. And the guy still said, but I still didn't want it. And Rav doesn't answer anything. Lesof, chazya degadra. So now what happens? He sees that the guy put a fence around this. The kamantarle. Why did he put a fence around? To protect it from getting destroyed. So the guy claimed, I didn't really want this, but then he puts a fence up. So Amarle, Rav says to him, Galifa da'atech denichale. Right? You just proved to me that you clearly wanted this tree, because otherwise you wouldn't have bothered putting up a fence to protect it. Zil shumle v'yadol el yonah. Now he says to him, go evaluate the amount, and you're going to have to pay him the high amount, because clearly you really wanted it, and also that he was trying to penalize him for having lied to him. Okay. Itmar, another case that's similar. Hayored l'toch churvato shel chavero. You go to someone's, what do you call it? A churva, like a ruin. You go to the ruins of someone's property. Ubuna'a, and you build it up. Shelo b'rishuto. He didn't ask you to, but you went and you built it. Va'amarle, and then you go back a few weeks later, and you say, you know what? I built this house on your property, but Eitzai va'avanayin yonotel. I'm going to take back my trees and my rocks that I used, whatever prop stuff I used. I'm taking it back. Rav Nachman amar shomin lo. Rav Nachman says, you can do this, you can take it back, no problem. Rav Sheshet amar ein shomin lo. Rav Sheshet says, no, once you built it there, you can't take it back. It's similar to the Nahar, right? It brought it, you can't take it back. So Meitive. Now we're going to question. We're going to question the opinion of Rav Nachman. Rashbag omer, Rashbag says, Beit Shammai omrim shomin lo, u'Beit Hillel omrim ein shomin lo. Okay, there's a Tosefta where it says that Beit Shammai's opinion is we allow him to take it back, and Beit Hillel's opinion is we don't. Lema Rav Nachman damar ke Beit Shammai, right? How could he say like Beit Shammai? Right? In other words, we don't paskin like Beit Shammai, so Rav Nachman doesn't make any sense. So what do we answer? Hu da'amar, Rashbag is not the only opinion. Huda Amar ki hai tana. Rav Nachman holds like a different tana, is understanding. Ditanya shomin lo. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Nachman holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who thinks that everybody holds, the basic opinion is shomin lo. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, Beit Shammai omrim shomin lo, Beit Hillel omrim ein shomin lo. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees and thinks that there's a machlok Beit Shammai ben Hillel about it, and Beit Shammai would hold on the side of Rav Nachman. But Rav Nachman could say, I don't hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, I hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that the base opinion is shomin lo. Okay. So now they say, so my havela, so what's the halacha? I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Babayit shomin lo. Basadeh ein shomin lo. If it's he built a house, then you're allowed to. But if it's a field that he planted stuff in someone's field, you're not allowed to. Again, what's the reason? My taima mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay? It's because of yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to take out trees. So if I go into your field and plant trees, and then I want to uproot them and take them back, I can't do that. But I can do it if I built a house. So ika de'amre, a second opinion is, it's not mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's mishum kachsha de'ara. If I plant in your field, and then I take out my tree, the tree that I planted, what's going to happen to the land? My tree took nutrients from your land, so your land is now in a worse place than it was before. If I build a house and I remove the house, I haven't ruined the property underneath, right? It's the same thing. So my benayu, what's the difference between these two opinions? Ika benayu chutz la'aretz. If you say it's just Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, then there's going to be a difference in the halacha and chutz la'aretz, it won't be relevant. So in chutz la'aretz, if I stuck my tree in your property, I'd be able to uproot it. Okay? How the Meiri, who explained Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, is also in chutz la'aretz, it's a good question. I don't know how he explains this. Okay, next case. Hamaskir bayit l'chaviro b'yemot ha'gshamim. Eino yachol lehotzio min ha'chag v'ad ha'pesach. Now we're going to start getting into rental contracts. Okay, this is fascinating because this is, I'm sure most of us have had rentals in our lives, and this is basic rental laws. So if I rent a house to a friend in the rainy season, I can't kick him out from Sukkot until Pesach, because if I kick him out of the house, he's going to have nowhere to go, right? B'yemot ha'chama, shloshim yom. But in the yemot ha'chama, it's the assumption is, and this is the basic assumption of rental contracts in the time of the Mishnah, if you rented a house for your Yemot HaGshamim, you clearly wanted it for the whole time period, till the end of the rainy season. If you rented it in the summer months, a basic rental is 30 days. So if it was a stam rental, after 30 days, he can kick you out. Ubikrachim, but in the big cities, achad yimara chama v'achad yimara kshamim, 12 chodesh. Nobody buys in a big city, rents in a big city for less than a year. This makes sense, right? We all, most rental contracts here are for a year, the standard. Ubechanuyot, echad arayot v'achad krachim, and for stores, no one's going to rent a store for a month or 2 months or 3 months, right? 12 chodesh, it's also a year. Rashbag omer chanut shel nachtomim v'shel tzabaim 3 shanim. If you have a bakery or a dyeing factory, it's 3 shanim, and we'll see later in the Gemara, the Gemara is going to say it's because they sell a lot on
consignment.
And if they move their store, they lose out. Okay? Soon we're going to see that this amount is not when they kick you out. It's how long in advance you have to warn them that they have to get out, how much notice you have to give, okay? It sounds like in the Mishnah they're talking about not notice, they're just talking about how long do you have to live there. But the Gemara is going to say it's notice. Maishna yemorak shamim, techi agar inish beta, yemorak shamim agar lekul hu yemotak shamim, yemotak hama anami, techi agar inish beta, lekul yemotak hama agar. Why is the Mishnah distinguishing? If in yemorak shamim, the assumption is you rented it for the whole yemorak shamim, also if you rented a yemorak hama, you must be renting it for the whole summer season. So therefore, ele b'yimorak shamim hainutama delo shachiach beta lemega. It must be that yimorak shamim, it's not as common to find houses to rent. Why is that? Because yimorak shamim, everybody needs good housing, and there's much less supply. Ema seifa, but in the seifa it says, bakrachim, achad yimorak hama, achad yimorak shamim, 12 chodesh. V'ilu malelu, yimei schiru b'yimorak shamim, mapikle. According to this, what does it say? The standard rental contract is 12 months. So what does that mean? If I rent in the middle of the rainy season, so you're going to kick me out next year in the middle of the rainy season? That doesn't make sense. B'amai, haloshrech beita lebega, right? I'm not going to find a place to rent in the middle of the rainy season of the following year. So therefore, Amar Rav Yehuda lehodia katane. Therefore, this must be that they're giving you notice, okay? That's what it means. The Mishnah means giving you notice. It doesn't mean you can kick them out after a year. It means you can give them notice that you have a year in which to get out of the house. V'hachi ka'amar. And this is how it reads. Hamaskir ba'et l'chaveiro stam, ein yachol lehotzio b'yomorak shamim michav v'av ha'pesach, ela imkein hodio 30 yom me'ikara. Now what are they going to say? If you rent a house in the rainy season, what happens? If you want them to get out before, what do you have to do? You have to tell him 30 days before Sukkot that I want you to leave. Okay? Tanya nami hachi, brighter to support. Shamrush loshim, shamrush nemasar chodesh, lo amaro, ela lahodio. Okay, that's the brighter that says exactly that, that it's talking about notice. Ukashem shamaskir tzarich lahodia. Okay, this is basic rental contract. Just like the renter, just like the owner has to lahodia, kach socher tzarich lahodia. Right? Da amarle, because he could say to him, right, the owner could say, I o da'atan, havatarachnu motivna ba inish ma'alya. Right? If you had told me, I would have found someone else, because now I'm stuck. Who am I going to rent it to? Amarabasi, im nichnas yom achabi yamorak shamim, eino yachol otzio minachag v'ara pesach. Right? If you go in one day, the yamorak shamim, then he can't take you out minachag v'ara pesach. So now they say, wait a minute, v'han antanan shloshim yom. This assumes that before he goes in, if you're the day before you tell him, then it's fine. And what did we say? You have to tell them 30 days before Sukkot. So, hachi, right? That's ha'anan. Didn't we say shloshim yom ka'amar? So, hachi ka'amar. This is what the Braita means. This is what Ravasi means. Im nichnas yom achab yimorak shamim mehane shloshim yom, eino yachol lotzio menachag v'ara pesach. If he went into the house at any of those days within the 30 days before, then he, it's not if he went into the house. What does it mean? Tevav Elul is 30 days before, right? So if one day went into this 30 days, meaning if it's already Tet Zayin Elul, then you can't, which means exactly the same thing. So the Braita just says the exact same thing, which is once you get to within those 30 days, he can no longer give him notice that he wants him to get out during the rainy season. Amar Rav Huna, v'im ba lerabot b'dameha mirabeh. Okay, if he wants to... What is this? If he wants to pay more money, I think it means he can. Right?
If the landlord wants to increase the rental fee.
If the landlord wants to up the rental fee, that he could do without notice. Okay? So here it's very interesting, all these laws. Amar le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, wait, that's not fair. Hai linkite bekufse delishvake leglima. He's basically, okay, he's got him by his testicles, according to the basic interpretation of this, that he's going to basically force him to take his jacket off. Okay, in other words, right, or some people actually explain, he's got it, kovse is like koves launderer. He's got him by his clothes, as he's grabbing his clothes, meaning for the guy to leave his jacket, meaning he's not leaving him any choice. Okay, and how could you say that while I'm in the middle of renting, you're going to come and say it's the middle of the rainy season, hey, I'm upping the rent tomorrow. That's not fair. That's giving the guy no choice. So what are the answers? Lutzricha da'ai korbate. Now, it's when all the prices go up, then he's allowed to raise his price as well. In other words, if the market rate goes up all of a sudden, then he's allowed to change his price. He doesn't need to give me notice for that. But if the rental prices don't go up, then he's not allowed to. Pshita nafile beta amarle lo adif. Lo adif nimine. Right. So let's say the landlord's house breaks. Okay. You know, there's a hurricane. His house gets destroyed. He's got nowhere to live. So obviously, in that case, he's allowed to kick out the guy in the middle of Yemarat Shemim and say, "Listen, I need my house back." Right. I had this once in Jerusalem. I was renting a place, and the landlord said, "Listen, you know, I need to move back in, and you guys will have to get out. You need to give me some notice." But it was kind of unpleasant. Right. So Amale, lo adif minai, and you're no better than me. You have no place to live, but I also have no place to live, right? Zavne o orte o yahave b'matana, if he, right, what's this case? If he, 1 second, Zavne, if he's, I'm trying to remember who did what here, 1 second, okay, this is the other case, right? This also happened to me, by the way. All these cases happen to me. If he sells the house to someone else in the interim, I'm renting the house, and he sells it to somebody else, okay? All these things happen to me. Or orte, or he inherited it. Or yahave b'matana, or he gave it as a gift to someone, okay? This happened to me. I was renting a house across the street from here, like on Yara, and right after we moved in, we linked into a 3-year contract. We had an option for 3 years because we were investing a little bit in the house and we made her commit to 3 years. And then it was two sisters and the mother died, like right after we moved in. And they quickly wanted out because they wanted to sell it, right? When the mother was alive, they weren't selling the property. The mother didn't want to sell it. But the mother died, they wanted to sell the property. So they wanted to kick us out. So we obviously had, right, we were able to do it. So we did. We had rights and we were able to stay in there. They were very upset with us. And then in the interim, they sold it to someone. And that person also tried, right? In the end, they made us sign, at least it was a few months earlier. It wasn't you know, that much earlier in the contract. But anyway, it was this same kind of situation. So Amale, lo adif migavra da'atit mine. I can say, as the person renting, right? Or I can say the other guy, right? In other words, I'm just as important as the guy who rented. In other words, this is my, I already locked in.
It seems like none of these people have leases.
Right. Klale lebre, okay, if he needed it for his son to get married, okay, his son gets engaged. I think that's actually why I got kicked out of my Jerusalem house. I think one of his kids got married and he wanted to give it to them. Chazina and ihave efshar la odue, ibaile la odue. Vi lo, amale lo adif minai. If he had a chance to tell him, because generally people get engaged and there's a time frame, and remember in those days also it was like a year. So then he has to tell him, give him advance warning. But if not, and the kid needs it, then again, lo adif minayin, you can kick him out. Hu gavra dezabin arba dechamra, lo eshkach duchta laotve. He sold a thing of wine, and he didn't have a place to put it. Amar leila, he itita, eat lach duchta laogure. This is a great story. He says to this woman, you have a place where I could store my wine. Amar leila, lo. Okay, she says, no, I don't have any space for you to store it. Azal kitcha, he goes and betroths her, because he knew that she had land. So he betrothed her in order, right? Yave le duchta la'ayle. And then she gives him a place to bring his stuff. Azal lebeta, so what does he do, right? He puts down his wine, he goes home, katav lagita. Okay, he writes her a get. He got what he wanted, right? He betrothed her just so he could get the space to put his wine. And then he divorces her, shadar la. So he sends the get to her. Azla ihi agra shkolai mine ube. So what does she do? She takes his stuff, She puts it out of her house. Afikte va'otve b'shvila. She takes the stuff and she sticks it on the road right outside her house. Amra puna b'reid Rav Yoshua. So what does she say? Kasher asa ken yaseh lo gmulo yashub b'rosho. This guy used her and he got back what he gave her. In other words, right? He was trying to play games, so she played games with him. Lo mabaya chatzer de lo kaima le'igra, ela afilu chatzer de kaima le'igra. Even, right, it doesn't, we don't even care if it's a chatzer that wasn't planning to be rented, but even if it was planning to be rented, in other words, what's the point? He said, she was unfair, she wouldn't rent me the space. And so if it was a space she wasn't planning to rent out, fine. But even if it's a space she wasn't planning to rent, she was planning to rent out, she still doesn't have to give it to him because Amar leh, lekulei ama nichalei lekuri, v'lechal lo nichalei. Another, right? And why not? Didami dalai ki arya arba. You didn't look, you look like a suspicious guy to me. I didn't like you from the, right? She could see through him from the beginning. What?
But she'll marry him.
Right, so for whatever reason, she did agree to betroth him. So it's a good question about whether we're saying, in retrospect, she's saying this, right? You're clearly a bad guy and I didn't want to rent to you. Okay, last thing. Right? That's why, now it makes sense with the notice, you have to give them notice of 3 years because then they can make sure to collect all their payments before the 3 years are up. They'll go find all their, you know, and they'll know. That's why you have to give them a much longer advance warning time. Okay, end of the sugya. Tomorrow we get to even more rental stuff about who's responsible for what things in the house, right? This is always the issue of a rental contract. What things do you pay for? This I also have my share of with those sisters. They were quite difficult. You know, who's to pay for what? The pipe breaks at this rate, right? What issues, who's responsible for what?